Hi everybody, I'm Blind Cool Tech, and on my podcast, I think I'm going to upload this there too, so some of you will probably get this twice. I thought that I would do a podcast on C.S. Lewis, since there was so much discussion of J.R.R. Tolkien. The two of them knew each other, as a matter of fact. They, as I mentioned on the email list for BCT, they were part of a group of professors and scholars who met occasionally. I don't know if it was every week or twice a week or what it was. I can't remember now. I've got three or four biographies of Lewis, and it mentions that, at least that they met for a while, until there was a bit of a parting of the ways of some of them. I think Lewis and Tolkien had a parting of the ways sometime down the road there, in the mid-1950s or something. But anyway, the group was called the Inklings, and that's Inklings, and they met to read and critique each other's work. And so that's when a lot of these books were created. Some of them didn't like the other's work, and I remember C.S. Lewis didn't always like what Tolkien did. And I suppose the reverse might be true, although I'm not quite sure. But anyway, I thought I would give some time here to discussing C.S. Lewis. I suppose many of you have probably heard of the Narnia books. That's N-A-R-N-I-A. They are available from NLS in web braille format. I believe they've also been read in their entirety in one single published series recently within the last few years. And I think that Bookshare might have them, but if you can get them from NLS, that would probably be the best way to do it. And I'm sure that some other publishers overseas would probably have them. Also, the Space Trilogy, which are Lewis's three science fiction novels, the first one is Out of the Silent Planet, the second is Perelandra, and the third is That Hideous Strength. That Hideous Strength is the longest, and it takes place on Earth. The other two take place on other planets. Anyway, the first exposure I had to these was when I was a teenager, and I got Out of the Silent Planet in Braille. I believe it had been done by Royal National Institute for the Blind. At the time, they were in London. And I remember that I didn't want to read the whole book. I wanted to get to the part where he actually got to the planet that he was going to get to. And that was a part at the time that I was most interested in. But then as I grew up and became a Christian and began to understand the meaning of these books and the messages that were being given, then of course I wanted to read the whole thing. So I read them from Recording for the Blind. I believe I read Perelandra sometime or other as a talking book. And I think that Robert Donnelly read it. Perelandra is a second in the series. Anyway, I'm going off in all directions here. But there are, these are the main fantasy and science fiction books that Lewis wrote. There are one or two others. Till We Have Faces, I guess you could call that a fantasy, although it's more mythology. But the Narnia books are the ones that have been made into movies, and there are numerous versions of them. I keep thinking there's one that has just come out. I think it was supposed to be released in September of 2005, but I'm not sure if it's out yet. I haven't checked. I think I've got it reserved in my Netflix list of movies that I want, so when it comes out on DVD, I'll be able to find out about it and get it and rent it, and I'll probably end up buying it. I know that WonderWorks did three of the seven books. Actually, one of the movies was a combination of two, so actually they've done four, or they did four, and then I don't know if the budget ran out or not, but they did a really good job with them. Somebody said once that they could tell that they had done it on a low budget, but the acting is just wonderful. And in fact, if it's still available, DVS has the Silver Chair, I believe. audio described. So that's really a neat thing that they did with that. But the others are not. But I got them anyway. I just think they're terrific. I think there's some other ones out there that are on film or on probably on DVD now, but I don't remember. I know that Focus on the Family Radio Theater has done the Narnia books in audio format, and they're very good. I have yet to listen to all seven of them. I scooped them up when I found out they were available. But they've got some of the same actors and actresses that were originally in the WonderWorks films, so that's kind of interesting. But these books concern, the Narnia books concern either two children or four children, depending on which book you're reading, who in some way or other end up in a mythical land called Narnia, which is ruled by the lion Aslan. It's Aslan is the correct spelling of that. And the land is full of animals, talking animals, and princes, and dwarves, and all kinds of people and animals and stuff. And they're always being invaded or having to fight some evil queen who is trying to take over, which is the case in the first book, although it depends on which book you read first. You can either start out with the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or you can start out with one of the other ones that chronologically occurred before the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So, there are different ones that you can start with first, but the whole point is that these children are transformed into the rulers, kings and queens of Narnia, and they end up living there for thousands of years, and then they finally, in some way or other, end up coming back to Earth. And of course, no time has occurred between the time they left and the time they came back. So, in a lot of ways, these are children's books, but by the time you get to the last battle, which is the very last book in the series, you find that there is a much deeper message, and a much more profound message, and it's just a terrific series to get involved in and read. Especially if you're a Christian, then you would understand more of what the message is, but I think there's something there for everybody. And that's all I'm going to say about that series. But the second one that I mentioned, the Space Trilogy, I think is far more far-reaching, I guess you would say. It deals with the conflict of good and evil and how evil is slowly conquered, and the different types of creation, I think. Just all kinds of things you could get from these books. I'm a huge science fiction fan, and that is one of the reasons that I'm absolutely fascinated with these books. Lewis read a lot of Stapleton's books. I forget what his first name was. I ought to know that, and I can't remember. Olaf Stapleton, that's who it was. And he was somewhat influenced by Stapleton's ideas, although he didn't appreciate his philosophy particularly. But Stapleton wrote back in the 1930s, I think, and he was quite popular at the time. Lewis read a lot of that, and of course, had always had a huge fascination with mythology and things that are transcendent in some way. And these books that I'm going to discuss here briefly deal with that at some level. Out of the Silent Planet is about a linguist, or the word that he used was philologist. That was the word that described linguists in the 1940s when these books were written. And this linguist's name was Elwyn Ransom, Elwyn Ransom. And ransom comes to have a very definite meaning in the second and third books, as you'll see. But the first book deals with him being taken against his will into space and going to what they conceived the planet Mars to be back then. Now, Mars and Venus are the two planets that he travels to in the first two books. And, of course, you've got to suspend your scientific knowledge because back then they didn't have the probes that went to the various planets and check things out to see what it was really like environmentally. And they had never gone into space. So one of the things you'll notice when he talks about the spaceship is that supposedly you can hear the meteorites hitting the outside of the ship itself. Well, that doesn't appear to be true. But the whole point is that he is taken to Mars by these two scholars, these two professors. One is, his last name is Weston, the other is Divine. And Divine survives into the third book, and Weston gets killed in the second one. But anyway, so he goes to Mars, and they have apparently been there before and made contact with the inhabitants of the planet. And the whole point of this, at least one of the points, is that Ransom learns about the various types of inhabitants, both on the planet and the angels that rule over the planet, or as they're called, Oyarsa. That's the name in what is the old solar or universal language that Ransom has to learn to speak. I think in some ways this first book is sort of a preparation for what he's going to have to deal with in the second and third books, because mostly this deals with the conflict between professors Weston and Divine wanting to take over the planet for various reasons, either to expand man's rule over the universe or to gain wealth. And Weston is, killed in the, not killed in the first book, but is killed in the second book, but his purposes are defeated. And the fascination with this first book for me, and I think the reason it's my favorite, is because you get to see the different views of creation from different creatures' points of view. There are three alien species on the planet. One is the Harossa, H-R-O-S-S-A. They are large, furry creatures, intelligent. They look like mammals. And a lot of their words have H's preceding them, so they sound kind of furry and soft. They are the ones who are the musicians, the poets, the singers, and also the farmers and the fishermen, which is kind of interesting. And there's even brief mention of a group of them who live out in a desert and are dancers, which I thought was rather interesting. The second species is the Sorns. They live in the mountains in caves, and they are the scholars, the scientists, the philosophers, I guess, although the Harossa also tend to be philosophical in their way. The Sorns are very, very tall, probably 18, 19 feet tall. And I couldn't figure out if they were avian, bird-like, or reptilian. I didn't quite get that straight. But anyway, they are the ones who learn and reason and discuss. And there's quite a bit about how they think, which is kind of interesting. And Ransom goes and visits them and is taken to an island called Meldalorn to have a meeting with the angels of the planet, the ones who rule that planet. But one of the Sorns is one who takes him there. The third species is the Fifeltrigi, and they are the builders and the creators. They're more insect-like or maybe frog-like. They have a lot of arms and jointed hands and stuff, and they can build things. They're very quick. They're very precise. And believe it or not, they are also painters and sculptors, which is kind of interesting. So each species has its own purpose. And for example, if the Saurns need something like a telescope so they can view the sky, they go to the Fifeltrigi who make this for them. So you have these three species, and over all of these are the Oyarsa. And these are angels, but they're not like the angels that we would view, or even like the angels that we would think of in the Bible as having a certain form. They are kind of out of the physical dimension, and their voices are just described as not having any blood in their voices. They're not flesh, and yet they are alive, and they have a certain dimension that is really quite unique. And they think of heaven as their dwelling, and the points in heaven is as planets. Planets are like little islands to them. And a lot of this sort of gets into physics, and I'm not going to get into any of that. I don't know if I could explain it, but anyway. So that's the whole point of the first book, at least in my view. There's more to it than that. The second book is called Paralandra, and in this book, Ransom is taken to the planet Venus, which is a planet full of oceans, and there are fixed. There's only one fixed island, actually. The other islands are floating. When he gets to Venus, he discovers that Weston is there, and Venus is a planet which is kind of at the beginning of creation. The animals and the creatures have absolutely no fear, and there is a king and a queen of the planet who are kind of like Adam and Eve, and Weston is sort of like the tempter. The temptation is that he wants to get her to do what is forbidden her. Whereas the Garden of Eden was set up so that man was told not to eat the fruit
from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
well, in Paralandra, the man and the woman, the king and queen, were told that they could sleep on any of the floating islands, but they could not sleep on the fixed island. And one of the temptations that Weston was trying to get the woman, especially, to do was to stay on that island overnight. And he was doing it in very subtle ways. He was just spending a lot of time with her. And Ransom was sent there to get rid of Weston. The queen was not allowed or did not fight him in any way. She was innocent, but at the same time she was a bit like a goddess. And Lewis said that that was one of the hardest things that he ever wrote, to try to portray her as being very childlike, but at the same time being very godlike, but not a god, not a goddess in any way. So it's a fascinating portrayal, the interaction that goes on, and eventually what happens is that the king and the queen win due to Ransom's intervention, and Ransom goes home. The third book happens on Earth, and the main point of this is that an agency called the National Institute for Coordinated Experiments, which spells out NICE, tries to and nearly succeeds at taking over a little town called Edgestowe, which is a little university town. They don't succeed, but they come very close. And the subtle ways in which they try to take over are really scary. There's a lot of evil in this book, so I don't know that I would want any child or even young teenager to read it, say below the age of 14, 15. It's a rather dark book in its way. It has a very happy ending. There are things in there that lighten up the mood, which you really need. One of the more intriguing things that happens is that the NICE, which is not nice, by the way, even though that's what the initials spell out, they want to try to get a hold of some of the Arthurian characters and try to use their knowledge of magic to further their cause. Specifically, they try to resurrect Merlin the magician. Well, it turns out that Merlin is a Christian. So, Merlin is not on their side, and they make a mistake, and they resurrect a tramp who doesn't have a clue what they're trying to talk to him about. They're speaking to him in Latin, and this guy can barely speak a word of his own native language. So it really is kind of funny what happens with all of this. But there's a lot in that book. It's longer than the other two. But it goes with them. And to get a really good idea of what's happening in that book, you kind of have to read the other two. Ransom is in the book, but he's one of many characters. Although he does have a central portion of the book, and he specifically does a lot of directing of the house in which a lot of the good guys end up living and working from. But the whole book is worth reading. You can get very, very involved in it. I don't know really what else to say about Lewis's view of things and Lewis's universe. I think I've pretty much covered everything. I haven't gotten into a lot of the far-reaching types of things that are dealt with. But if you can get hold of these books and read them, I think you'll find them well worth reading. They're books that you come back to. And goodness, I think I've read especially the first couple of these at least half a dozen times. And over the last 20 years. So I like to come back to them every couple of years, but I think it's been more like every few years that I've managed to do it. I'm sure I could read them much more and learn a lot more from them. So I hope this gives you a little bit of a feel for what these books are. And they're books that, as I said, you just keep coming back to them. Kind of like Tolkien. I got to read Tolkien every once in a while. And I guess watch the films. I intend to do that too. I want to watch those over again. I'm getting to where, though, I've seen them at least a half a dozen times, and I can kind of tell what the dialogue is going to be before anybody says anything. So anyway, hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I know I've gone off in a lot of different directions here, but I just can't help it. I get started talking about this stuff, and I just can't help myself. So I hope it hasn't been too confusing. So, take care, and who knows what I'm going to be talking about next time. But whatever it is, I'll be back. So have a good one, and thanks for listening.
Hi, everybody. I'm Blind Cool Tech and my podcast. I wanted to make this very brief addition to the last podcast, which was number 10. So if you didn't want to hear that one, you can skip past this one. Just push your delete key. But I wanted to make this brief addition because I wanted to clarify a few things that I confused and neglected to mention in the last podcast when I was talking about C.S. Lewis and the book Out of the Silent Planet. There were a couple of things that I had forgotten to mention. One thing I didn't make very clear is the hierarchy above the three sentient species. The Oyarsa rule the planet, but in addition, there are different levels. The Oyarsa are the rulers, and not necessarily below them in hierarchy, but with a different job or a different task are the Eldilla. That's E-L-D-I-L-A or L-L-A. I'm not quite sure how you spell that. But these are the messenger angels and the ones who go and do things and ask the various inhabitants to, you know, go somewhere or see someone. I had forgotten to mention them. And then each planet has an Oyarsa, who is a ruling angel. And above that is Maleldil the Younger, and he lives with and dwells with the Old One. And Maleldil is over the entire universe of all the planets, all the galaxies, and so forth. So that is the hierarchy. There was also mention in my podcast about one or two concepts of physics that might be confusing, and one that I wanted to mention briefly is the different forms of matter, solids, liquids, gases, and the way that this is explained by the inhabitants is that everything moves, or actually, I guess in modern terminology, everything vibrates. And the form of matter is controlled by the speed of the vibration and eventually, or movement, actually. I guess they could be two different things, because vibration is somewhat localized and movement can be distant or near. It can vary, but not in the same way that speed of vibration varies. The world of the planet that we're talking about, their concept is that everything moves, and eventually everything moves fast enough, or certain things move fast enough, that they are all in the same place. And that could explain the universality of Maleldil the Elder, and probably Maleldil the Younger also. The ones who rule over everything and see everything. So that is their concept of the different forms of matter and how they're created. There are other terms that are used, but I won't really go into them too much. As an example, there is no inherent evil on this planet. There is no coveting. For example, if somebody wants something that someone else has, they just go and ask for it, and it's given to them freely. So the concept of killing just to kill someone, or killing out of jealousy, or taking someone else's spouse for their own, and all that sort of thing is not understood there. There are, as I said, other things I could probably mention, but I don't remember them right now, and I said this is going to be a very brief podcast to clarify some things I mentioned in the previous one. Speaking of podcasts, this is number 11. The first C.S. Lewis podcast was number 10. I neglected to number that correctly, and my apologies for that. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to change the number of the file on my site or not, but I'll see if I can. And with that, I'm going to sign off and hope this has helped to clarify a couple of points. It might and it might not. It might make things a little more confusing. So thank you for listening, and bye for this time.